أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah wa azzamallah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn wa awlad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn alayhim afdalu salawati wa tahiyyat. Every night we are getting closer to the tragic event of Ashura, and as we are sitting comfortably here having the majlis for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, imagine the situation is getting tense and more tense for the pure household of the Holy Prophet, the family of the Prophet alayhimu salam in Karbala. Let us first start with the ayah of the Quran that we have for tonight as the theme of the discussion, and inshallah we will talk about it. The ayah that I have to share with you, two short ayat in Surah Al-Zilzal, chapter 99 of the Quran. I will start from the beginning of the surah reciting it, but because the ones that I'm sharing with you are the last two ones, once I get there, inshallah, you can kindly repeat after me as well. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha zulzilatil ardu zilzalaha وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم. Now from this part onward, inshallah, we say together, I say and repeat after me, as you can see it on the screen. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. That was Surah Al-Zilzal, the chapter of the earthquake towards the end of the Holy Quran, and the topic for tonight. Before I explain about the part for tonight, inshallah, of this ayah that we are reciting, I need to tell you that what we are aiming, inshallah, in this series of talks these nights is basically to improve, inshallah, our faith and our iman, so that by the grace of God, practically we can respond positively to the call of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Because, inshallah, the reason that we are here is nothing other than saying labbaik to the call of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, attending the majalis of Husseini, in practice saying labbaik. And I had told you that it is not enough, and we should not be content with saying that, okay, alhamdulillah, I have attended the majalis of Imam Hussein and reaped the rewards of it, or I listened to a lecture, recited some ayat. As a speaker, it applies to me. As the reciter, as the one who does latmiyya, as the one who contributes towards the dinner, as those who are organizing, anyone, anything, however that they do for this majalis, these are all preparations for one main objective. And unless that objective is met, we have not met what we're supposed to do. We have not achieved what we are supposed really to achieve. And that is so that by the end of these nights, inshallah, we see that our faith has been increased. The level of our faith has increased compared with the past, and we have become better Muslims, better followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If I do not see any change in myself, I have not achieved what I meant to achieve, what Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted me to achieve. I have not practically said labbaik to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. That's why I'm trying my very best from here and there to collect information to share with you that helps us reach our goal and objectives. To the best of my knowledge, and based on numerous ayat and riwayat that some of them I share with you inshallah tonight, remember this please, that all that matters in Islam, if somebody tells you, give me the bedrock of Islam, the foundation of Islam, give me a secret key that is the secret key to my salvation, to my prosperity, to my falah in Arabic, remember only these two words, al-iman wal-amal al-salih. Man amila al-salihat wa huwa mu'min falan nuhiyannahu hayatan tayyiba. First night we mentioned that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is inviting us to revive us. And this ayah says that if you want to be revived, two conditions only apply. Have faith in God and all what God is teaching you. And it's not enough to say that, alhamdulillah, have faith. No, you have to practice your faith as well. Practice also matters. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that everyone has three associates, three companions, three qareen, qurana, we in Arabic say that. The first group of your associates, or the group of your associate, is your wealth. The mal, all right? The crown dollar money in any currency that you have. No matter how rich you are, no matter how much money you have, in how many saving accounts, how many real estates you have, the moment that you die and you expire, that associates is bye-bye. I no longer belong to you. Legally and Islamically, doesn't belong to you anymore. And even if it does, what can you do? Okay? So this associate that is your wealth, that you used to give your life for it, unfortunately, sometimes some brothers, perhaps getting to sisters as well as their business women as well, they are sacrifices. That Sheikh, do you know how much you have sacrificed? Yes. You sacrifice your children, you sacrifice your wife, you sacrifice your life, you sacrifice your faith. MashaAllah, you are working so hard around the clock. You have no time for your akhirah. You have sacrificed your paradise for your business, for this shop, for this company, or whatever. That's a big sacrifice. Excuse me to be frank, that's a silly sacrifice. Sacrifice so much to gain the wealth, before he enjoys it, he had to leave and depart, subhanAllah. So Islamically, in fact, if I'm towards my death, like I'm in coma and still I'm alive, but I'm in coma, or health-wise, I'm deteriorating so much that the doctors, they say he's got only a few more days to live, and still I'm breathing. I have no control over my wealth more than one-third of it, thuluth. Two-thirds doesn't belong to me. Still, I'm breathing. But because I'm almost dead, I have no control over two-thirds of it. And the moment that I die, I have no control over nothing, absolutely nothing. So my wealth will be with me up to the time that I finish my last breath. Second associate, friends, mates, parents, children, spouse, those who say, I die for you, I love you to death. Yes, maybe they are right. They love you, but to death. They love you up to your grave. They come and attend your funeral, weep, cry, put you in grave, cover your body, and then say bye-bye. Life goes on. No matter how much your children love you, no matter how much you love your children, whoever you want to imagine, at the end of the day, you have to say goodbye to them after their burial. So this associate also is not going to stay with you. Don't fool yourself. Don't give them too much, because they are not going to stay with you for long. The Prophet says that the third associate is the one that you need to look after, because he is the one who is going to be loyal and stay with you. And that is وَهُوَ عَمَلُكَ. That is your action. Your wealth says goodbye to you. Your family says goodbye to you. But your action, you see that, inshallah, we are all going to experience that, what I'm telling you. The Prophet says that once, ya Sheikh, you will be put in your grave, and your family goes back home, your wealth was dissociated from you, distributed, everything. You see that somebody is in the grave with you. And let me tell you that al-qabr, that we are talking about, you are not talking about that hole under the ground. In the Islamic terminology, very often al-qabr is an expression for alam al-barzakh, where the soul goes. The moment that I die, I find myself in a different world, with a different world order. That is called the world of barzakh. Sometimes they translate it purgatory, but purgatory is more of a Christian translation. Anyway, a life between dunya and the day of judgment, the life of the souls. I see that wherever I go, like a shadow following the, you know, everywhere I go, there's someone with me. I wonder, I said, who are you that you don't leave me alone? He says, I'm your action. Ana amaluk. I'm your action. The Prophet says that now, your action that you have made it, you have brought it from dunya, if it's good, you see a very like creature full of nur, that you enjoy its company, and say, please don't leave me alone. Some riwayats refers to the good action in the name of al-misal, because it looks similar to like your Salat al-Layl, your Salat, your tears for Abu Abdullah Hussein. All of this, as I explain it, will be converted to the reality of it comes to you. And if it's an evil deed, sins, haram, the ayah of the Quran refers to it as al-qareen. Lebanese, they call it sometimes areen. They say that of areena. Have you heard of areena? Do you have Lebanese here? This arena is different from al-qareen that the Quran is talking about. Ya layta bayni wa baynaka bu'd al-mashriqayn fa bi'sa al-qareen. Because he sees that the odor of that, the ugliness of it, and how really I'm disgusted to be with him. I have to use him, because once we go to the life after death, there is no more inanimate beings. All that exists, brothers and sisters, in life after death, all are, because Quran says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Hayawan means living creatures. That you see that everyone is intelligent now. They are all talking. River talks. Trees talk. All right? Everything. Hell talks. وَتَغُولَ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. Heaven talks. All speak. It's not only you that speak. In fact, even in dunya they speak. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَسْمَعُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. You and I, we don't hear them, we don't understand them. The miracle the Prophet did once, he had some pebbles on his palm, and he said that these pebbles are glorifying God. He said, Ya Rasulullah, do they? The Prophet said, yes, listen. Not that he made the miracle that miraculously these pebbles are speaking. The Prophet enabled the companions to hear the glorification of the pebbles, and hence they heard these pieces of stones speaking, glorifying God. Here, for us ordinary people, because we are deaf, dumb, and blind in dunya, in that sense. But in life after this, whether the person is kafir or mu'min, everybody will hear that we are living in the life of intelligence. Okay. So the Prophet says that once you are buried in your grave, you see until the day of judgment, that associate sticks to you. As much as you try to dissociate it from yourself, you can't. If it's good, you don't want it. If it's bad, you want, but you can't. This is why it's worth worrying about our action a lot. For me as a sheikh, for you respected brothers and sisters, and I tell you that the more you're involved with the community affairs, the more the community respects you, the more responsibility you have for your action. And in fact, the more shaitan is in ambush for you. Shaitan is more worried about me than like somebody else, because shaitan doesn't like me to talk all this stuff, share this stuff with you. It's against the mission of shaitan. Therefore, shaitan tries his very best to fool Sheikh Mansour, to somehow like take him off the right path. La'natullah alayhi. We have to be very careful. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that today, subhanallah, salamullahi alayhi. I really have a goosebump before I share these ahadith with you about the magnificence of the word of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Imam says that today I want to introduce to you Islam in such a way, define it in such a way, no one will be able to define it so precisely. Look at what the Imam says. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam means submission. Wa taslim huwa tasdiq. The reality of submission to God, it means acknowledging God and all what God has given. وَالتَّصْدِيقُ هُوَ الْيَقِينِ. Acknowledgement means certainty. You will not acknowledge something unless you are certain about it. وَالْيَقِينُ هُوَ الْأَدَى. Unless you are certain, once you are certain, you deliver. وَالْأَدَاءُ هُوَ الْعَمَلِ. Deliverance means action. Therefore, in a nutshell, al-Islamu huwa al-amal. Don't worry about what you hear from Sheikh Lagai. Sheikh Lagai is what he does, not what he speaks of. He speaks about. And that applies to everybody else. Imam Ali alayhi salam passed by, and a group of the youth, they were sitting they were debating over the grammar of their, like the qira'at of their recitation. وَلَا بَالِينَ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times of prolonging the breath. 3, 5, 6, 7. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, أَنْتُمْ إِلَىٰ إِعْرَابِ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحْوَجْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَىٰ إِعْرَابِ الْأَقْوَالِ. What a beautiful word. أَنْتُمْ إِلَىٰ إِعْرَابِ الْأَعْمَالِ أَحْوَجْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَىٰ إِعْرَابِ الْأَقْوَالِ. You need to worry about the grammar of your action more than the grammar of your speech. You spend your life just to know whether how to pronounce Allah or Allah or whatever, to know what is the grammar of like of this sentence. The purpose of revelation of Quran was not just this. Come on, move on. You need to fix the grammar of your action more than the grammar of your speech. Even if you don't speak correctly and your action, your intention is good, God hears that. There is a word of wisdom, a maxim in Nahjul Balagha. Now that we are speaking of Imam Ali alayhi salam, let me mention this and move on. Hikmah number 150 of Nahjul Balagha, if you get a chance, refer to it later on. Sayyid Radi Rahmatullah alayhi, the compiler of Nahjul Balagha, after he quoting that, he says that if in my book, in Nahjul Balagha, I did not have any quotation from Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib other than this, that would be enough for me to be proud of compilation of this book. What is that? A man came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, adni, give me a piece of advice. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, La takum mimman yarjul akhirata bighayr amal, wa yurji'u tawbata bitul al-amal. Ya'malu, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Let me translate part of it that I remember. Inshallah, I know it off by heart. The Imam says that Don't be among those that they hope to have a good life in the hereafter without any action, that they don't have anything in the hereafter. Because the currency in the hereafter is action. النصف الدنيا بالأموال وفي الآخرة بالأعمال. In dunya, the more money, the more you can manage your life. In hereafter, the more action, the more you can manage your life. In the hereafter. So لا تكن ممن يرجو الآخرة بغير عمل ويرجع التوبة بطول العمل. Don't be among those that they postpone the repentance because he has long wishes. Inshallah, let my business, you know, get settled. I've just started this business. Next month I start, inshallah. Next month I'm going to go to the mosque. And this next month, next week never comes. Don't be like that. يَقُولُ فِي الدُّنْيَا بِقَوْلِ الزَّاهِدِينَ وَيَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ الرَّاغِبِينَ. That's what I said. I have a goosebump. When he speaks, he's so eloquent. But when it comes to action, he's so poor. In his lifestyle, when you see his lifestyle, he's so greedy about dunya. But when he talks on the member, Allahu Akbar, حدث ولا حرج. يعني you see that, mashallah. يحب الصالحين وليس منهم ويبغض المذنبين وهو أحدهم. Allahu Akbar. He says that I love the pious people, but he doesn't want to be one of them. He says that I hate the sinners, but he doesn't know that he's one of them. See, any opportunity Imam Ali alayhi salam took, he used to emphasize, أيها الناس العمل العمل ثم الاستقامة الاستقامة. Action, action matters. On the day of judgment, what matters to you is your action, what you have done. What is action? With salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, I tell you. Action and the reality of action. Up to about 300-400 years ago, so many ayah that I have counted them, almost 100 ayah on this topic of tonight. See how much I'm giving you a very zipped version of a very concise version of a very profound discussion. We have over 100 ayah about this topic of tonight, but until about 300-400 years ago, Shia and Sunni scholars, Mufassirin of the Quran, they did not understand the true meaning of this ayat. And they used to interpret it in a different way. That I'll explain it. Like the ayah under consideration, let us review it again. Quran says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ. Do you have it on the screen? Have a look. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Someone with basic Arabic will understand the meaning of this ayah, and still we have the translations available, the initial English. Whosoever does anything good equal to the weight of an atom, okay, will see it. Yara. Yani, you shall see your action. And whosoever does anything equal to the weight of an atom, evil, will also see it. See, Quran says, you see your action. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُهْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. God says, I'm talking to you about the day that shall come to you inevitably. الْوَاقِعَ. Without doubt. That every living soul shall see what they have done, good or evil. They see it. Up until the time of Sheikh Bahauddin al-Amili, rahmatullah alayhi, one of the very eminent scholars of Jabal Amil, whose father used to live in Jabal Amil, migrated to Iran and resided in Isfahan, and Sheikh Bahai was around 3-4 years old at that time. So he grew up in Iran and became a genius scholar. Up until his time, scholars, they used to interpret this ayat, like go to Majmal Bayan Sheikh Tabrasi, go to the Sunni Tafasir, and I've checked many of them, Fakhr Razi, for example, or others. They used to interpret this ayat and on the day of judgment, you will see the reward of your good deeds. On the day of judgment, you will see the punishment of your bad deeds. they interpret it this way. They say, because you can clearly, this is what Tabrasi, for example, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says. He says, because al-amal arad, wal-arad la yabgha. I explain it. In philosophy, we say that we have accident and we have substance. We have jawhar, we have arad. Excuse me to be a technical. Very quickly, I explain and I'll move on. How can I explain it? Like, for example, anything that this wall has a substance and has a color. They refer to this to the substance of the wall as jawhar, al-mawjood fi mawdu. They refer to the color, the paint that you give to it, as al-arab, accident. Therefore, one day is white, another one can be red, another one can be yellow or so. They say the color cannot exist unless there's a substance. Where do you paint, put the paint? And once the substance has gone, the paint also goes, the color also goes. Now, they say once you die, you are like substance, like Johar. And your action depends on you. Once you die, your action has gone as well. Once I die, no longer my speech exists. Therefore, on the day of judgment, what has finished wouldn't come back. So what happens on the day of judgment? God has kept the record of it, and God rewards you or punishes you accordingly. Until Sheikh Baha'i Rahmatullah Alayhi, he came and he said that this is absolutely wrong. He made a revolution in philosophy in that sense. Even Allama Majlisi, who's also almost contemporary, you see that in his Bahar al-Anwal, still he's inclining towards the opinion of the previous scholars. Sheikh al-Baha'i, he said that this issue of substance and accident is in the mind, my friend, not in the real world. According to Asalatul Wujud, the principality of the existence, all that exists in the external world, in the real world, is substance. Even the pain is a substance. Okay, even the pain is a substance. When it comes to our action, nothing will be perished. Nothing will be destroyed. In philosophy, this is proven. Modern physics has clearly proven that when Einstein came with the theory of E equals to mc squared, and that energy and matter, they are in reality one entity. They transform to different forms. When you burn a tree, it becomes ashes, doesn't it? You have not destroyed the tree. You have transformed the tree to a different format. Ashes transforms to something else, and therefore they say that that's what Einstein said. The energy in the universe doesn't destroy, recycles. Some years ago I studied this, that like the water in the world recycles. Every single drop of water from the sea that is evaporated falls down by rain, snow, hail, and things like that. And that's why nothing will be less. Millions of years ago, the water that existed on the planet Earth is the same as now. It's recycling. Energy is recycling. Nothing will be destroyed. So what I'm talking about now will not be destroyed. Your action will not be destroyed, whether I'm physically alive anymore or not. I watched this in a documentary some years ago, that in a town in Italy, Pompeii or something its name, some God knows how many millenniums back, there has been a volcano, and that town was completely destroyed. Archaeologists recently, they discovered some clay vase, and they managed to get the song that the guy, the clay maker, used to sing when he was making the vase made of clay. They managed to get his voice out and translated it. Now, if a simple human with his limited knowledge can do that, in your opinion, as I'm talking now, my voice is registered everywhere. I will have more to talk about this issue in Jakarta. This air, this wall, this place, everything are just registering. It's just like somebody is, like I'm typing, how can I say it? It's all registered and saved somewhere. On the day of judgment, God played back. all that I was talking about, whether swearing or sweet, whether good deed or bad deed, all will be played back. In fact, if you want to know your reality in the hereafter, my reality in the hereafter, brothers, sisters, your reality, my reality in the hereafter, your existence in the hereafter is what you have done. Every day, therefore, I am like Hubla Hamalat, as the Prophet says, like a pregnant woman that delivers. Every day we are delivering. Every day we are forming our existence in the hereafter, good or evil. In as big, like the baby that is part of the flesh and the blood of the mother, is the mother, like it's really from the mother delivered? Likewise, who you are in the hereafter, who I am in the hereafter, is what I have done in dunya. My action is making me every day, every now and then. Yes, of course, if we do something wrong and we repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, there is some technicality here, and majority of scholars, like Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, they say that repentance does not destroy the action. Action cannot be destroyed. That's the sad part of it. What repentance does, makes an obstacle between you and that bad and evil deed that is not harming you anymore, neutralizes it, that is not harming you anymore. The virus is there, but it's not harming you anymore. That's why it's easier not to sin than repent from a sin, because you have already made it. Already made it. Especially, please remember, especially habits. Please, please, and pretty please, brothers and sisters, please watch your habits. What you get used to it. Good habits creates nur for you in the hereafter. Inshallah, you are used to praying. And that's why Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the moment we live in paradise eternally, because God knows if you live here on earth eternally, you are not going to abandon salah. You are not going to stop praying. You stopped it because you are no longer alive. If you are alive, like one of the brothers, Hafizahullah, I know him, he says that, Shaykh, if I live in dunya for, because I told him, mashallah, since I remember, you have been always going to Majalis Husseini. He said, and he is now an elderly person, he said, if I live in dunya for 2 billion years, still I go. And really, he's that kind of person. Habit, good habit. This, for him, becomes noor. On the other hand, if someone, la samahallah, has developed a bad habit, masturbation has become his habit, this bad habit also is going to harm him. The one somebody I was talking to, over and over, and at the end he said, let me tell you, I was flying from one state to another in Australia, and we had a conversation, 1.5 hour flight, close to the destination, he said, look, Islam that you explained to me makes so much sense. I feel inclined to become a Muslim, but I'm not prepared for that because I'm over 50 and I cannot give up my red wine on my dinner table. I'm used to it. That's a shame. That's what a sad story. What a sad story, really. That's a bad habit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-khamru jamru nar." Masalli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Masalli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Al khamru jamru nar. It looks wine in dunya. The reality of it is the hellfire. Is like the burning coal of fire. What looks here? It looks being spiteful in dunya, that you are, God forbid, spiteful. But the reality of it is a snake. And like, you know, all animals biting and so when you hear about the snakes in the hereafter, snakes are what I have made them myself with my tongue, God forbid. When you hear about Hurul Ain, the reality of Hurul Ain, like Rahmatullah alay, Allama Tabatabai, he was saying he had experienced it. He said that I was praying and I saw beautiful creatures around me while I was praying, full of nur. My teacher, Allama Qadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, had taught us already, if you pray and during your prayer you see such heavenly creatures around you, don't let them distract you. Concentrate on your worshiping God, because you will reach to the Jannatul Liqa, the paradise of meeting with God, not paradise of meeting with Hurul Ain. You will be elevated. Imagine, we are dying if we get to the level of Hurul Ain, for example. Mind you that, please, unfortunately, religion has not been explained to us properly. Some guys, they think that Hurul Ain are like some very beautiful girls that, all right, I'm going to have Hurul Ain. Well, once we go into here, there's no male, female, there's no gender things anymore. Okay? These are the dunya. Please remember that once we are in the hereafter, we are talking about different world order. I don't have time. If I get a chance one night, I'll explain to you the meaning of Hurul Ain according to the Quran, so that your mind stays with the spirituality. All right? But anyway, the reality of those heavenly creatures, tears at night. You remember your sins. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, as we say, sometimes at night you get up, make your wudu by the grace of God. You are in prostration. Nobody knows about you and what you are doing. Between you and God, you are in fear of God. You are in tears and you are crying. Every drop of your tear becomes a Hurul Ain for you, becomes that heavenly creature for you, comes back to you. You have pleased somebody, someone needed the help. You gave a donation for a godly cause, for an orphan. You pleased an orphan child. And that orphan child somewhere else in the world that you don't know him even, but he was so happy that he received that donation. You made a difference in his life or her life. Raised his little hands and prayed for you. It becomes surur for you. The name of this heavenly creature in paradise is as-surur. That comes to you full of nur and you enjoy its company. You say, who are you? It says, أَنَا السُّرُورُ الَّذِي أَدْخَلْتَ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. My name is As-Surur. Surur means happiness. Shadi, happiness. I am that happiness that you created in the heart of that little boy or girl. You made me. You enjoy my company. We have not come to this dunya for anything other than this. To create our reality for our life after death. To create our associates for our life after death. And we will see them and we'll enjoy their company, or God forbid, we will suffer from them. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَظْلِمُ رَبِّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be unfair to anyone. See, if somebody commits a crime, Allah commits an offense, and please make sure that you park thoughtfully. I heard last night some people, they got some surprise when they went to their car. 500 kron, more or less? 600? All right. Prices are going up. There is an offense and there is a penalty for it. This year is that much, next year will be that much, last year was something different. Government decides, relatively. In Islamic law, jurisprudence also is like that. Somebody commits a crime and there is a penalty for it. 80 lashes, why not 81, why not 79? Okay, based on agreement. In the hereafter, that is the life of absolute justice. Malik Yawm al-Din will decide justly, absolutely just. God says that, look, I'm here to judge. But you know, whatever you have done, I give it to you. I give it to you. That's your punishment or that's your reward, accordingly. Isn't this fair? In the story of Prophet Yusuf, we have a similar example of that. فَجَزَاؤُهُ مَنْ وَجَدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. Whoever that we find in his stack that he has stolen the cup of the king, you must have seen the movie at least, if you haven't read the Quran. Whoever that we find the cup of the king in his stack, the punishment, he himself will take him as a punishment. God says that on the day of judgment, your punishment of backbiting is your backbiting. You say, oh, what is this? This is not like, yes, it is. I had told you, because you are a believer in Surah Al-Hujurat, I told you, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Do you like to eat the flesh, the dead flesh of your brother? Here is a piece of the flesh of your brother. Eat it. So disgusting. God says, I had warned you already. Non-believers didn't know, but you knew about this. That's yours. وَطَعَامُهُمْ مِنْ غِسِينَ or شَرَابُهُمْ مِنْ غِسْلَينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that food, drink in hell also is provided. But what kind of food and drink? God says these are all what you have made for yourself. So leaven, milk, honey, flowers, trees, paradise, hurul ain, all the bliss in paradise, all the punishment in hell are the reality of our actions. I mentioned this and finish it here. I told you that I'm just trying to summarize it as much as possible so that you have an idea, inshallah, about it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoted to have said, "An-nasu niyam fa'idha matun tabahu." People are asleep. When they die, they wake up. Allahu Akbar to this hadith. In this hadith, the Prophet is explaining a reality to us. All what we do in this dunya, brothers, in fact, even our intention has an appearance and has a reality. Has an appearance and has a reality. Similar to the world of dream. We have this narrated by Shi'a and Sunni from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet says, "Once I had a dream, وَأُوتِيتُ بِقَدَحٍ مِنْ لَبَنْ." I was given a cup of milk. And they said, "Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean that you had a cup of milk in your dream?" The Prophet said, "Yani al-ilm, this is knowledge." Imam Zain al-Abidin had similar dream as well. See, that's why dream interpreter in Arabic, we call them al-mu'abbir. Those who have Arabic background. Mu'abbir, yani the one who does take you to hatta ta'abur, so that it's like a bridge, makes a bridge between your dream and the world of reality. He says that this in the world of dream means this in the reality. So in the world of dream means something, in the real world means something else. The same means something else. Likewise, in the world of dunya, it looks like khamar, it means like wine. But this is not khamr in the hereafter. The reality of this is just like a dream, that your dream will be interpreted in the hereafter. The reality of this in the hereafter will be hellfire, will be a snake, will be honey, will be so and so. That's why we have to be very careful what we are making, who we are making as our eternal associate. It will be, he will be, she will be, whatever. That intelligent being will be our associate forever, unless if we have changed our lifestyle. God forbid, used to be good, no longer he's good. Used to be bad, inshallah, but no longer he's bad. Then repentance will fix it. The other one is also terrible. That's why be careful of what you say. Be careful of what you do, because by saying and by doing, we are making something for ourselves. Inshallah, we make something good and positive. Let's go and inshallah create our heavenly creatures for our paradise with our tears for the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the sons of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام على القاسم بن الحسن المجتبى. I'm introducing, inshallah, first and foremost to myself a role model, and then to your brothers and sisters. A role model who was only 13 or so, under the age of puberty, young in age. But subhanAllah, even the children of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have reached their perfection. His name is Al-Qasim, another son of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam had three or perhaps four children in Karbala. Last night I introduced Abdullah, the youngest, to you. Tonight I'm introducing Al-Qasim. older than him was Hassan al-Muthanna, because his father was Hassan and his name also was Hassan. Imam Hassan had called him Hassan al-Muthanna. He is in fact the only male survival of Karbala other than Imam Zain al-Abidin, that the generation of Hassan al-Muthanna, those Sadat at Tabatabai, are from his offspring. And the enemies, they assumed that he had died, but he was alive and unconscious. Anyway, Qasim was 12 or 13 years old only. You have heard. Look at the Iman. Remember what Imam Ali alayhi salam said about the reality of Islam? Reality of Islam is not how many books you have written, how many degrees you have, how well versed we are with Islam. The reality of Islam is with action, when the time of action comes. In the night of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam talks to his companions and assures them that all of you tomorrow will be killed brutally, this young boy is sitting in the back. He waited until everybody dispersed on earth and went to their tents. On his knees, goes closer to his uncle Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Remember, since he was only 2 or 3 years old, he had lost his father and naturally grew in the house of his uncle Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He sits right in front of his uncle, Ya Uncle Amma, Ya Hussein. A'ana fi man ukhtal? Am I also among all those who will be killed tomorrow? Because you said that you will be all killed. And I was sitting there. Before the Imam answers him, he tells him that, كَيْفَ الْمَوْتَ عِنْدَكَ? How would you perceive death? Are you like ordinary people that they are running away from death, no matter for what reason? He says, أَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ. What a, really, look at the statement that this Qasim ibn al-Hassan has made, has become his icon, introducing him forever. Sweeter than honey. Sweeter, yani it's so pleasant to me to give my life for the sake of God. And the Imam says that, yes, my dear, you will be also among the martyrs tomorrow as well. The following day, on the day of Ashura. According to Shaykh al-Saduq, rahmatullah alayhi, the second martyr from Bani Hashim was this young boy, Al-Qasim, Qasim ibn al-Hassan. Who was the first? Inshallah, we'll talk about him, Ali Akbar al-Hussein. The first of Bani Hashim martyred was Ali Akbar. Second, the son of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Amazingly, even companions, when they used to come to Imam Hussein on Ashura seeking permission, Imam Hussein initially was hesitant to give them permission to go and fight. But when Ali Akbar comes, I should mention this on the night of Ali Akbar, but let me touch on it and move on. Imam Hussein immediately says, go ahead, good luck. But when Qasim comes, Qasim was an orphan when he came to his house, and still he is orphan, he's under the age. He's his nephew. Brothers, if you have a nephew and you have children, and especially if your nephew is an orphan, you have a special caring for him. Sometimes, because with our children we have no formality, we sacrifice the food, like we don't give it to our children, but we prefer the nephew. Nephews and nieces are so dear. That's why when Qasim comes, and now it's the reality of it. It's the blade, it's the sword, it's blood and shedding the blood. He comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam seeking permission. Imam Hussein alayhi salam refuses to give him permission. Not that the Imam doesn't want him to go, but also because he's under the age. There's no obligation on him in the first place at all. But this young boy insists. He's begging, Uncle, Uncle, you promised me last night. Please. I was so attached to Ali Akbar. He was like an older brother to me. I saw what happened to him. Please give me the opportunity. He kept asking, begging, until Abu Abdullah al-Hussein gave him the permission, but he hugged him. The uncle and the nephew, they hugged each other hard. They have written, فَجَعَلَا يَبْكِيَانَ حَتَّى غُشِيَا عَلَيْهِمَا. They hugged each other so hard that both of them felt fainted and they were in tears. Imam Hussein was in tears
and Qasim in tears as well. Tears of joy, tears of temporary separation, I don't know. Whatever the case was, this young boy jumped on his horse that they said he could not even reach, his feet could not reach the pedal of the horse, but ran towards the enemy. The soldiers of Ibn Ziyad, they said, it's a young boy, it's not worth go fighting him. They sent some of the younger soldiers. Immediately, they lost the battle. Until Umar Sa'd cried loud, said, شَنْشِنَةٌ أَعْرِفُهَا مِنْ أَخْزَمِي هَلْ تَلِدُ الْحَيَّةُ إِلَّا حَيَّةً. This is the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the blood of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib in his blood vessel. You cannot, even your men cannot fight him. And Qasim comes back and he says, Uncle, did you see? Did you see? Uncle, I'm so thirsty because of the fight. He says, Uncle, my lips are dry. My mouth is dry. I'm so thirsty, Uncle. Just a bit of water, I kill them myself. I get rid of them myself so proudly. What can Abu Abdullah al-Hussein says, my dear, you know there is absolutely no water in the tents. Look at your uncle's lips, thirstier than you, drier than you. Go back, inshallah, soon you will be joining your father. And with that loose loss of the energy, Qasim ibn al-Hassan goes back, starts the second time fighting, but this time the enemy from every corner, they were shooting and arrows were hitting the body of this young boy, the orphan of Qasim ibn al-Hassan, until he could not remain on his horse anymore and cried, Ya Amma, Adrikni, Uncle, help! And he collapsed on the floor. The enemies, like hungry wolves, they attacked him. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein ran his horse towards the uncle, towards the nephew to pull him back. But by the time he gets there, Qasim ibn al-Hassan has left this dunya. Imam Hussein hugged his dear nephew and he speaks, Azza wa Allah, ala ammika an tad'u fala yujibuk, aw tuji'u yujibuk fala yanfa'uk. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin, wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. Salamat.